Also, I would like to mention that I had a granddaughter, my 14th granddaughter. My youngest child, Tina Pisipti, gave birth a couple days ago. So I'm very proud. Congratulations. Nakome, bye.
You know, it's the boy Dash all the way from Grenada and he tuned in to C-Cut 90.3 FM.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening, wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Shashi.
Live up. I'm super live. Live up. S on my chest. Call me super live. Got my cape on. I'm super live. Ready to take off. Trying to get super live. Live up. Turn it up. Whoa. Or get slaughtered. I'll let you decide. I'm super live, yeah, I'm feeling super live. Live up, head bussin', tear the roof off, tear the roof off.
By any means necessary, watching Ben step tall, cause it's necessary. When we first got together, I just wanted to talk. All I want from you is licking money out of all. The lies will beat me to the floor. Violence. It ain't your fist, it's your words.
Silence.
All in all, don't worry about me. Call and call won't blurry what I see. Camouflage, I see all that you can be. If you drop that bloody red and fall on your knees, cause bam, by any means necessary. Bam, by any means necessary. Bam, by any means necessary. Watching bands stack tall, cause it's necessary. Bam. By any means, did you get that pay? By any means, did you get that pay? By any means necessary. Watching bands stack tall, cause it's necessary. Every day, every night, let you make me cry. Never understood like I was the reason, so I creep in like a natty, I see. Say I ain't but shit, friends got my heart, they leave you sick. You sick, all in all, don't worry about me. Pops fall and fall, but won't flurry my dream. Revenge best served, I want my heart back.
Yes, 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 we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and this April, this year, is 10 years since I've been on the air, and some of my former co-hosts have graciously accepted to come on the air with us, and we're going to do like a little recap, a little look back in time, a little bit of memories as to, you know, what Soul Perspectives meant to us and stuff like that. So joining us this evening is the one and only Jasmine Wilson, who was here before me, and we have DJ Sirius, Montreal DJ, now Ghana DJ. And we also have Sweet LaRock. Thank you guys so much. These are my family, even though we've all went our own separate ways when it comes to Soul P. These are my family, and they always have a place here. Thank you guys so much for coming in. Jasmine.
Yo.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm great. I'm glad to be back with the fam.
Yeah. It's been a while since you've been on the air, so tell the people a little bit about yourself, please.
All right. Jasmine W, as it used to go by on Soul P. I am a vocalist. I'm an educator. I'm based in New York City now. I'm a storyteller, and my background as a singer started off in classical music, which is what led me to move to Montreal, where I was at McGill, and how I found CKUT. But I'm also an improviser and love making music with all sorts of people, and the weirder the better. Mm-hmm. I've had the honor of being able to guest lecture at Harvard, which was really cool. And just singing with lots of different groups of people here. And also, I work in media. I was at CJD for a hot second when I was in Montreal. And now I'm at the local PBS station in New York City, working in community engagement. So always about trying to build connections with folks and connecting people and continuing, in a lot of ways, the spirit of this show.
Yeah. Dan Kelman, a.k.a. DJ Sirius, who is not always serious, but he does have a smile on his face today. Please tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, folks might not know, folks who are listening now.
Yes. So as Kim said, I'm DJ Sirius. I joined Soul P, I believe, back in 2013 as I was, you know, building my DJ career. I'm trained as an audio engineer. I work as an audio engineer, a DJ, and, you know, a radio host as well. And right now I am located in Ghana. I relocated from Montreal back in 2021, and I'm continuing my dream, pursuing my passion, living here with my family. I'm a husband and a father. I have two wonderful boys, and pursuing my dream as a DJ, audio engineer, hopefully radio host as well, here in Ghana. And I'm happy to be back here with you guys, you know, on Soul Perspectives, and just reuniting with the family again.
Boom. Sweet Lil Rock.
Hey,
that's always your thing, Sweet Lil Rock. Tell us a little bit about you.
So I think I joined Soul P in 2013. I joined when Kim asked me to be a guest DJ and stayed for a couple of years with you guys. So I'm really, really happy that I got to be part of this family. And happy that I'm here today. So a bit about me. I joined when I was still in school, graduated from school in business and accounting. And now I'm a consulting manager at a firm, at a consulting firm called Deloitte. So I've, you know, continue on still being a DJ while living the corporate world and trying to live both at the same time. And yeah, that's pretty much it, basically. Still living the life of a DJ while doing the career that I really wanted to do. Mm.
Thank you all for being here. I'm really honored that you guys came back. And I've just been excited about recording with you guys since we all said we were going to do this. So... since the pandemic, the show has been a little bit different. We want to incorporate talking about our what we went through, you know, like, because it's been a weird vibe ever since you know that announced this global pandemic, this global shutdown happened. So how did you all manage that, Jasmine? What was life like at the beginning of the pandemic for you?
Well, I can say that silver linings. I'm in New York and was going into an office in Midtown New York every day. And I can say that I was exhausted. I was irritated. I reached a point where trying to ride the subway felt like I was going into battle just to get to my desk. Because if you haven't experienced New York City subways, it is an experience. And after a while, everybody kind of lovingly, but not so lovingly, complains about the subway. And I remember the week before everything shutting down being like, I don't like this. I'm so over this. And then one day, my boss set aside the team and was like, look, there's this coronavirus thing. You're going to have the option to not come into the office. And I'm like, you don't have to tell me twice. And so I was like, okay, cool. I won't come into the office tomorrow. I also teach. I teach public speaking classes. And so I thought, okay, I have a class at the end of the week. I'll come back in for that. Then we got a company-wide email saying, stay home, pretty much. And it was bizarre because we weren't really able to go back to the office to collect all of our belongings. But fortunately, I was set up to be able to work from home. And I'm the kind of person who actually works really well. I have everything that I need. I'm very, very grateful. I think as a musician, as an artist, there's just some gear I already had. So the beginning of the pandemic, interestingly for me, was like, okay, well, it'll just be for a couple of weeks. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of weeks turned into a couple of months, and now it's been a couple of years. And, you know, a lot has happened, especially with all of the things. I mean, we've lived through in the United States a lot of racial reckonings. Mm. I mean, there were protests that were happening literally a block away from my apartment. There was a lot of police presence and helicopters. It was incredibly stressful. It's still stressful to hear helicopters because there's so much police presence.
Yeah.
There are buildings getting boarded up. There were people going out, and I wasn't one of the people who went to go protest because I'm a vocalist, and my relationship when it comes to my health became on high alert. Yeah. Because before the pandemic, I had a really awful experience when I got sick and lost my voice. And considering this is a respiratory virus, I'm one of those people who became super, super cautious.
Yeah.
So for months, I just stayed in my neighborhood, quite frankly. I didn't really venture outside of where I lived. I didn't go into Manhattan. The life of isolation is hard. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very grateful to live with some beautiful people, beautiful roommates, and to have community, which isn't something that everybody can say. Therapy is great. It's awesome to have found ways to make music, because of course, as a musician, you need other people, and it's hard to do that when you're not around. And I mean, we're all creative people. To not be able to create with other people was really hard. So I tried to find other ways to do that. I learned how to play clarinet through a friend and doing an exchange. I started learning violin, getting more into what are ways that I can make music without other people was pretty much things that I started doing. Finding other ways just to stay creative, to try and stay sane. And it's been hard. I don't think anybody can say that this has been easy, and to walk out in the street and it'd be so surreal, and people's faces are covered and are having life significantly changed. But I'm also very grateful that I've been able to work through this, and that I've been able to, you know, have my home here and have my community here and continue to be able to work remotely as we figure out where we are as things change, and to grow. And I think also to be able to heal some parts of me that would not have been able to heal without just being forced to stay home.
Yeah.
That was a really long thing, but that's how I've been dealing with all of this.
No, that's real. That's real. Sweet LaRock, what about you? What was your experience like in the beginning?
So the pandemic, started happening in 2020. So, and of course, like everybody else, like Jasmine mentioned, we got a firm-wide email saying, you know, stay home. And And luckily enough, I had traveled in Costa Rica right before. So I was like, okay, I'm good. Like, I did my thing. I traveled, whatever. I didn't, not knowing how long it would last. Mm-hmm. And then Jasmine just reminded me of that. And I was looking at the dates and I was like, oh, that's right. I remember we had a really, really exhausting period because then George Floyd happened. And then the corporate world starting to try to mend this thing about not being present enough for the Black community, not supporting the Black community enough. Then I became a token Black girl for this talk. And so it became really exhausting.
Yeah.
Because everybody wanted, and you know, they didn't want to do it in the wrong way. They really wanted to engage, I guess, really, like, quote unquote, they really wanted to engage with members of the Black community to understand what we're going through. But it became exhausting because they couldn't really understand or relate to the, you know, to what we were living at that time. Mm-hmm. And the accumulation of things that we lived through, and we had to go through that to open up, to explain what we were going through for all these years, what we're experiencing in, you know, at the office, at work, in the workplace. And knowing that we weren't sure that there would be things that would change, like really change. Yeah. So we just had to go through that. So basically, it was just a very, very exhausting period.
Yeah.
But in my personal life, I was really happy and grateful that I had moved to my own place at that time. So I could organize myself at home, do a lot of housework, do a lot of renovations by myself. Like, I really like working with my hands. So I did a lot of stuff on my own here. So that kept my mind off of the pandemic. And also because I wasn't DJing anymore. Mm-hmm. It was very depressing. Because, I mean, your music is... it's kind of my social life. That's how I, you know, get to connect with people.
Yeah.
I get to see people and so forth and so forth. So I wasn't able to do that. So I took some time to, you know, be by myself on my own, do my thing. And it allowed me to also take a long pause that I really needed. I mean, there was a time where I was like, I'm going to stop DJing. Like, I'm not good enough. I'm not this, I'm not that. Like, I had to really pause, you know, take some time, reflect, and, you know, start back stronger. And I feel that's where I am right now. Mm. So, yeah, exhausting, but in the end, some advantages came out of the pandemic.
DJ Sirius.
Yeah.
How about you, brother?
I'm trying to figure out how to put it all together because so much was happening. Mm-hmm. So at the beginning of the pandemic, or even before the pandemic kind of took off, because obviously we know it started like in January, realistically, but before we were facing any of the challenges that came up, things were already happening.
Yeah, for sure.
I started off 2020 with a mission to kind of revolutionize my life and to change the way certain things have been going and to really get started with certain projects that I wanted to do for a long, long time that I'd been putting off, collaborating with certain people that I wanted to collaborate with and just start building certain things. I remember, Kim, you and I actually had a meeting either at the end of January or the beginning of February in 2020.
Yeah.
And it was a part of the process that I was going through. I was meeting with certain people because there's certain things that I wanted to get off the ground. My wife was pregnant at the time and our baby, well, obviously is born now, was due in, he ended up being born in May, but I think we thought he was due in April.
Right.
So I was really looking at it. I'm like, you know, I'm going to have a baby soon. There's certain things that I want to get off the ground and I want to get as much momentum as possible. So January went a little bit slower than I thought it would have. And then, you know, February, I started to get things off the ground, and then boom, it's like pandemic. And it's like, what in the world just happened?
Like we actually saw each other 2 days before the official lockdown. Like, I had Ntungu and we were all hanging out at your place, and we actually went to the supermarket and saw the shelves without the toilet tissue and all of that. Yeah, that nonsense
I completely
that was going
forgot
on.
About that.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. You're right about that too. But I've said so much was happening. So you're right. Yeah, we did see that. So the pandemic happened, and you know, everything that I was gearing to do just kind of was at a standstill. But on the other hand, for me personally, I feel like the pandemic was a blessing in disguise, because like I said, you know, my wife was pregnant. And then we're expecting the baby. We have a 3-year-old son. And the pandemic actually gave me a chance to focus and spend way more time with my family than I would have if there was no pandemic.
Yeah.
Like the last month of my wife's pregnancy, and then the consecutive months of you know, once Kimani was born and he was there, I was able to spend so much more time with them than I would have if things were normal. And I was so grateful for that time that I was able to get with them. So obviously it was a shock. Things didn't go the way that I had foreseen them going when I look back to the beginning of 2020. But at the same time, it was a good experience, and I'm grateful that I got that chance to really be there and be with the family and experience it in a way where I didn't have the same obligations as I normally would.
Yes. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are doing a Soul P reunion. We have DJ Sweet LaRock, DJ Sirius, and Jasmine Wilson. We do have to take a quick break and play some music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Don't be mistaken, it's time to show up and be bold. So channel what you've been through. Tell a story that matters to you. Take a peek into your mind. Let your spirit be the guide. To find your way back home, you need to learn to let go. Remember you were born free from the victim mentality. So they can call you crazy, they can call you blind. And you could be afraid, yeah, it's alright. But push through, baby, push through. And stay true, baby, stay true. Starts creeping. Take a moment, sit still if you need it to breathe and listen. But then you gotta keep it moving. Go on and flex what your mama gave ya. Ain't nobody else gonna do it your way. And trust me when you take.
When you hear the words mental illness, what do you think?
I have friends who don't even know that I suffer from depression.
Why don't they know?
Because I'm scared they'll ostracize me if they know, and then they'll abandon me. I don't want to be alone.
You're discriminated against when you have a mental illness. With other illnesses, there's compassion.
It doesn't take much to be diagnosed mentally ill.
Due to an outburst, I was diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic. And now the doctors say it's something else.
20% of people and counting have had or will have a depression.
People throw different labels around. You are this or you are that.
Everybody psychoanalyzes someone during a conversation.
You have a right to express emotions.
Anger, love, hate, sadness, confusion. It does not mean you're ill.
If you're down and out, seek help. Don't be scared. It can be very intimidating.
There are people listening and willing to help.
We have to innovate.
Get informed. Contact your local CLSC, Sun Youth, Amy Quebec, Ford House, or Prevention Suicide.
Yes, 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 we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and this evening we have a special Soul P reunion. It's my 10-year anniversary being with Soul P, and we've brought back Jasmine W, Sweet LaRock, and DJ Sirius. So yeah, before the break, we were talking about the pandemic and how we got through that. Okay, so we're going to leave that behind, and we're going to go back further back into history. So, guys, how did y'all become involved with Soul Perspectives? Sweet LaRock, how did you become involved?
So, I vaguely remember, but I know that I started as a guest DJ. You invited me, Kim. I don't remember how we got into that conversation and you invited me to come.
Well,
I don't remember when it was or how it was, but.
Well, on Soul P, I was originally with Jasmine and Karen Jones, and we had spoken about having a guest DJ, and we did have a guest DJ once, but after Karen Jones left, it was Jasmine and myself, and we weren't DJs, and it was just weird just playing one song and then playing a second song, and we felt like the dynamic would have been better if there was somebody just mixing the songs together and like just pumping it up, and so that's why we bought on DJ Sirius. And what was really, really important is for all of us to be able to use all of the equipment, and so that one person doesn't feel like they're always responsible for one thing. Like, we could all get to interview guests mm-hmm. as our focus, do social media, which was a big part of what we wanted to, like, kind of build so that folks will know what's going on, and, of course, a DJ. And I've known you since like 2007.
Concordia days.
I remember there was a little club that Digital and them used to be at.
Yes.
On
Testa Rosa.
La Testa Rosa. And that's that's where I knew you.
That brings you back, serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, Testa Rosa. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, wow.
And so I had seen you DJing around, and we knew each other casually.
I was hosting. I wasn't DJing. Well, at Testa Rosa, I wasn't DJing at that time. Like, I was hosting parties. Me and my friend were organizing parties.
With food and all of that stuff.
Yeah. With the food and all that, and they had my friend was a photographer, and so taking pictures and stuff like that, doing that promotion. People don't realize, but yeah, I was doing it back then.
Yeah, but then we were connected, and I knew you were DJing, so I was like, we should have a second DJ so that not like DJ Sirius doesn't feel like pressured every week, you know, because you guys bring your equipment. You don't just come and just DJ. There's equipment, there's sound equipment, there's hooking up. So,
and what was good for me is that I it wasn't the type of equipment I'm used to DJing on. It was finals, so I was really grateful that Dan was there. Even at the times where I was DJing, I think Dan would come anyway. Or anyways, we would at some point we were all four, just either I was hosting or DJing, and we would just exchange it, and it was kind of fun. I had to, you know, I learned some skills, I learned how to host, so I really enjoyed that time. I really did.
Jasmine, you are more of a veteran than me because you were there long before me. How did you become involved?
I was trying to remember, how did I get involved? So I was a McGill student when I joined Soul P. And I, at some point, was on a listserv for CKUT, and I got something that was like looking for a co-host for the show. And I thought, that sounds kind of cool. So I checked it out and I came in, and it was a completely different crew. At the time, Karen Jones, I think, was there among some other people, but as time moves on, people moved on, and Kim, eventually you came on.
Yep.
And I think that was around 2010, actually, when I joined CKUT.
Wow.
Or at least when I joined Soul P. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's been a minute, and I can't believe how long it's been.
2010.
But yeah, I mean, this group was so special, and I mean, I might be the veteran, but Kim, you were the one who really, I think, pulled all of the strings and brought us all together. You know, mm-hmm. You were the one who had the vision and was like, we need to have some DJs. And I was more, I think, of like, okay, if we're going to do that, then here's some structure. I feel like that's the Capricorn in me who's mm-hmm. like, let's make it work.
Yeah.
You know, but you were really the one who had the vision, because you've always produce so many other events, you know, like I remember seeing posters outside of the Black Students Network for like the Art of Performing Oral Sex, which eventually I got looped into a couple of times.
Yep.
And that was great. So I was aware of you, but I think it must have been Karen who brought you on or something. Yeah. I don't remember how that happened. But
I came on, I actually, you were there for one of the interviews that I did.
Yeah, I remember that.
Specifically, it was either the Art of Performing Oral Sex or the Open Mic series, because by 2012, yeah. I had the Open Mic series. And I think you had even come to the Open Mic a couple of times.
You pulled me in. I fully remember that I came to one of, I will never forget, I came to one of the events, and it must have been the fall of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And you got wind that I like dibble dabbled in something, and you're like, Jasmine, come up. And I was on the spot, and I was like, okay, I guess I'm a poet now. And the rest is history.
Yeah.
Yeah. I credit you for making me a spoken word artist, but yeah, the show was really special, and I really love this group and the way that, like you said, I mean, everybody has said that we were able to really form this beautiful friendship. And I think that it comes through in the episodes, how much we just enjoyed spending time with each other. And I had a great time. And I had so much fun, too, watching both Pascal and DJ Sirius.
Yeah.
DJ, because you also have different styles of DJing. Like, you're talking about the vinyl and that it was just really amazing to watch the technique and the ways that you would bring that in, and just to be a witness. I'm like, I have the best seat in the house, and I could annoy you with questions.
And there was a very good synergy as well, because there's so much that going on behind the scenes that folks don't know about, right? Like, we have to write down all the songs that are being played. We had a thing whereby we like to have like a background track, a musical track going, that while we could do it while we're managing the boards and the computers, but if the person who's managing the boards gets involved in the conversation, at one point the music just cuts out, you know? So it's always like, oh, keep an eye, press play again. Whereas having you guys there in the background, it allowed for the music to stay on loop, a certain amount of loop, and for us to have that musical vibe while we're talking. And the recording of the music, like, you guys were just like, okay, next song is this. And whoever was on social media, they're able to just record it really quickly so that we can write it on our music sheets, and we can post it on social media as well. DJ Sirius, let us know, how did you become involved in Soul P?
Well, I just remember you reaching out to me to be a guest DJ on the show when I came on, and I believe I still have the picture of the first show that I did with you guys on Facebook. There's a picture of I'm not sure if that was the first show. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But yeah, I just remember coming on, and then from there, I was already into radio. I was doing another radio show on CJLO, the More Fire radio show, and I love the concept of Soul Perspectives. Definitely love the vibe and the energy that I had with you guys. I remember coming to a meeting at Tim Hortons with Kim and Jasmine, and I'm just like, well, this is actually what's supposed to happen. It's like we're having a meeting, we're discussing what's going to go on. You know, being involved in community radio, oftentimes, you know, there's not always structure. There's not always certain things that are happening. You don't necessarily feel like you have a team of support around you.
Yeah.
And instantaneously, I felt that with you guys. So I knew that I wanted to be a part of the show. And then just, I was at a point in my life too. Well, I can't even say a point in my life. I think I've always been that way in my life. But dealing the purpose of this show, you know, dealing with the issues related to Black people and giving us that voice just called to me. So, so yeah, I was just like, definitely, I want to be on board, you know, to be a host and to DJ, you know, share that passion as well. Mm-hmm. So it was just an organic fit, and you know, the rest is history.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the things I really loved, about having the DJs is the intention with the music, because you guys have musical knowledge. So you have your own style of DJing, you have your style that you prefer to, musically, but like, you know, Dan, like one of the things you would do is like, you'd be like, this is Tupac's birthday, and then it would be a Tupac, you know, it would be a Tupac oriented show, or this is Biggie's birthday, or this is Bob Marley's passing was just last week, so we'd have like Bob Marley music or stuff like that. There was a definite awareness of a musicality that we wouldn't have necessarily thought to bring to in terms of music unless that specifically came up on social media or in the timeline or something like that. So that was always it was like a little bit of texture, a little bit of a vibration that was always, it was always really beautiful to experience. And no two shows were exactly the same. So I really, really enjoyed having that. That was like, you can't buy that. You can't buy that. I don't think that there's any other show out there that has that kind of vibe to it, where it's like there's an awareness of on multiple levels, you know, like, okay, yes, we're DJing, but it's not just DJing. We're honoring the musicians, the singers, the songwriters that came. If someone had passed away, you know, I think we had a couple of our big musician folks that passed away during that time. You guys were like, okay, we have to play this music and we have to pay homage to them. And I thought that was a beautiful thing to add, because yeah, some people would do it, but it wasn't done in the way that we had it structured. Like when we'd come back on, you know, one of you would take the mic and be like, hey, this is where we played this music because this is going on and these people, da 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 da. You know, there was added layers to the show.
And we celebrated a lot of different cultures, yes, within the show.
Yes.
And that's what I appreciate the most. We would go from soca to like house music, and it was cool. Yeah. and then we were, as we were celebrating different cultures, we were honoring our own, or honoring Black people in general. There was such a versatility of things that was happening on that show. I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
Same. I mean, it was definitely an education for me. Like I always feel like I learned so much more outside of the classroom when I was still going through my studies, and definitely Soul P was one of those places. And as the resident American, you know, it was just so beautiful for me to learn more about just all of the beautiful ways to be Black, you know, because I definitely feel like I got a taste of our culture, you know, in a way that I just wouldn't have elsewhere. And what better way to do it through music and through conversation? Like, Montreal has so many people that I'm sure we can all think of who come from all over that have informed the way that we understand ourselves and the way that we feel pride in our culture. And we all have very different cultures on the screen, you know, on the Zoom call, you know, but yet we're still all together. Like, I think very fondly of all the times that you've made meals for us, Kim.
Yes.
The Machinadian vibes.
Yes. Yeah. When all you guys would come to my place for like spaghetti a caronso.
Yo, so good.
with some jerk salmon on the side.
Oh my God, that was bomb.
That was bomb for real.
Yeah. It was bomb. Yeah. I'm still remembering like the smokiness and like the spice. It was bomb.
Oh my God.
Yo.
That's when I realized of late one of my love languages to feed people, you know. So a big part of us culturally as Black people is food, like we collect ourselves around food. So no man, to feed you guys is a pleasure to me. Like that's not even like when if and when we're all in the same country, we need to make that happen. We need to have our own version of a cookout.
I vote for Ghana. Like I vote for Ghana too.
Y'all are welcome.
I'm down.
Y'all are welcome.
I just need to stock up on mosquito repellent because we can't deal with the mosquito them. When I go back to Jamaica, it's the same thing. Can't deal with the mosquitoes.
True.
Yeah, but the off True. Off don't even work here all the
time. The mosquitoes out there, they're like, what is this?
What is this nonsense?
Yeah.
Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we have a special Soulpy reunion. We have DJ Sweet LaRock, DJ Sirius, and Jasmine W back here with us. We're going to take a quick break, pay some bills, play some music, keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Heartbreak is a hell of a thing. Are you ready to sing? Are you ready for wings? Are you ready to fly? Are you ready for the touch the sky? I come through when I open my third eye. Never will I testify or comply. Sitting in the room alone, I ask why. My loved ones gotta die. Why? Just because. I'ma stand up, why? No jokes. Swinging on heavy with my back against ropes. Sometimes you get the feeling you can't cope. When they make bread and sharing the whole loaf. Gonna get burned and turn to all toast. No hope, but a rope of dope won't help you float your boat in the open ocean to the coast. Remember, you're a lover. Remember, you're a fighter. Remember, you're a lover. Remember, you're a fighter. My life is like incredible high, and then it's like terrible low. Oh God, the life of a lover. The life of a fighter. About to feel and take a
This week on Soul Peace Calendar. Naya, a single mother, teaches at a public inner-city high school. She is devoted to the success of her students and her teenage son, Amari, when they encounter serious difficulties. This April 12th to 23rd, 2022, attend the English presentation of Pipeline, a Black Theater Workshop presentation at Théâtre La Licorne, 4559 Avenue Papineau. For tickets, 514-523-2246 or theatrelicorne.com.
The life of a fighter. My life is like incredible high, and then it's like terrible low.
love a fighter, fighter.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and today we are doing a special Soul P reunion. We got Jasmine W. We got DJ Sweet LaRock.
Hey.
And DJ Sirius. That would normally be on the ones and twos, but, you know, we ain't got no ones and twos here. We zooming it up. Thank you guys all for coming back. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, man, I honestly just didn't have the time. I was gonna try to hook us up so that I could throw in some music, because, like, well, obviously the people on air won't be able to see this, but I'm in my studio right now. All my stuff is set up here. I even have a camera up here. Like, everything is set up, but I just didn't have the time to get it set up so that we can have the audio hooked up to my either my phone or my laptop. So, but yeah.
Listen, we could do another Soul P show, and then we just do it like that.
Yeah,
even if
down.
Even have to pay for 1 month of Zoom so that, you know, we don't cut out
It'd
or anything
so
like that.
It'd
be well worth it. Yeah, mm-hmm.
We're gonna do something though. I'm gonna start streaming again soon.
Great.
I'm going to as I work out all the kinks, because I've just had some logistics challenges, especially with the internet connection, but it seems to be okay, but we'll see. But once I'm up and running, I have to get creative, and I want to try different things. So we can try to do some kind of live stream show and see how we can make that work.
Definitely. There's different, like, there's StreamYard. That's a really good thing that you can just hook that up to YouTube and then just have that going live at the same time. But we are reminiscing about, that's the future. Let's reminisce a little bit about the past. So what are some of your favorite memories from the show, you know, back when we were still on? Sweet LaRock, you want to take us on that journey down to memory lane?
So I had to go into the Soul Perspectives group to see what happened in 2013, 2014, and to remind myself of some things. And one of the moments that I saw or that I remember was when we did I think it was a Soul P anniversary, and we did it at Hip Hop Cafe.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. It was a live show at Hip Hop Cafe.
It was a live show. We had a bunch of guests. So I remember there was that thing that I remembered that I really had fun. And then was another thing with Jasmine, and we went to see the Black Film Festival, and then we had sort of had this after party with Spike Lee, and then we went to W.
Yeah. That's how I got the Spike Lee station ID.
Yeah. And then we had a drink with him. It was kind of weird, but we had fun anyway.
He just kind of looked perpetually pissed off in all of the photos he took. But he was cool, because there was a press thing, because it was for... So, okay, this is your story. I have some things to add that are interesting, though, that I have since learned. So I was at the press event earlier in the day where he was talking about his film Red Hook Summer. Red Hook is New York City, I now know. Mm-hmm. And...
Is a what of New York City?
It's a neighborhood in New York City. Red Hook. And
do you remember the film? Do you remember how? Okay.
So, and I remember asked, but this was before I think I had seen the film.
Oh, okay.
At some point, I asked him a question, and I must have mentioned that I grew up in North Carolina. He's like, okay, North Kakalaki. And so, like, later on, when we were at that, like, event for the Black Film Festival, he remembered me. He was like, North Kakalaki. And I'm like, hello. But the other thing that I think is, and so the other thing that was interesting was that there's a scene somewhere, I think in the beginning of that film, where there's like an opera singer or something that's doing some stuff. Turns out, and jump forward, that's my current New York City voice teacher. Wow. And so I'm like, oh, wow, that's cool, Janina. That was you? Wow. I saw that movie. Anyway.
That is interesting.
That's
wow.
All.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. So, I mean, those are the things that I remember. And some of the guests that we had, I don't remember most of them, to be honest. I remember here and there a few. We had one that I had brought in, I think, his name was Cleo Farr or something, and it was a promoter. And I don't know, like, he brought us a bunch of t-shirts and it was doing his promotions. I vaguely remember that one. We had a bunch of artists and people promoting their parties, people rapping. I just vaguely remember a lot of people, but nothing like specific about the guests. I just saw some pictures of the live show that we had at the Hip Hop Cafe. And that brought me back. That really brought me back. Yeah. It was fun. Mm.
Yeah, I think the Hip Hop Cafe actually closed down.
It did. Yeah. No, it did.
It
yeah.
did.
And the owner, I think the owner's redoing some other projects, thinking about opening another hip hop-ish type of cafe, not the same spot, but a different thing, but same aspects of you know, introducing hip hop to a specific place.
Mm.
Yeah.
Jasmine, since you had jumped on, what was some of your favorite memories from the show?
I'm kind of like Pascal, where there are so many people that we spoke to. We spoke to so many different artists and performers and promoters and community folks too, like not necessarily artists even. And I really appreciated how much I felt like we were just in the community, you know, like we just created this platform for so many folks. But yeah, the Hip Hop Cafe anniversary show, I definitely remember that one. That was a good time. I remember there was also somebody from, it was like Montreal Black Fashion Show or something like that.
Week.
You remember? Fashion
yes.
Week, yeah.
I was just thinking about that because we have a picture that was right before, I believe it was right before Sweet La Rock joined us or a little bit before. And the three of us
That's
were there.
I don't remember. I'm like, I don't remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a picture somewhere on the interwebs of the three of us at
that.
I have it somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good time. And I don't know. I guess like it was cool just to learn about other artists. I think that was the first time I had really met like Sarah MK, for instance. And I think she was promoting her album release at the time.
Yeah, I think
and
that.
I'm like, I've listened to her music or like that particular album so many times. And I have a very fond memory of watching a performance she did. I think it was like a birthday performance for her too. Mm-hmm. And it was like all of her family, I guess, or all of her friends and everybody who just like were riding deep. And like everybody was singing every track on every song. And I'm like, this is nice. And I think I knew about it probably because of Soul P, you know? So I really appreciated that we just got to be in the community. And I'll say too, not beyond just the guest, I always loved that we would take photos with everybody afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's the big CKUT
logo
thing that's outside of the studio. So we always would make a point of taking silly photos with our guests.
So there would always be a serious photo and then, you know, We'd always post a silly photo where we got eyes bulging out, tongues doing some kind of weirdness.
Yeah.
DJ Sirius, what were some of your favorite memories from the show?
So my first favorite memory, which I have to mention and which I'm tempted to do right now, is the way that we would say CKUT 90.3 FM
all synchronized.
Yeah, all
synchronized. Yeah. And you know, as you're, because we're on Zoom and stuff, and we don't want it to be all messed up. We're not saying it, but every time you say it, I'm tempted to say it the same way.
I'm saying it. It'll sound another.
another fond memory of the show is, you know, how we used to talk about our weekends. Mm. And, you know, I remember that the point of that was really just to give a recap of the different things that we did related to what was going on in the community and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But there was just something about it, because we would all bring, you know, a different vibe. It could have been something about food. It could have been something about an event. It could have been, you know, like whatever it was. We always brought something interesting when it came to our weekend. And sometimes that would take like a large
minutes.
Segment of,
yeah.
the first part of the show. And that was just magical. Touching back on what Jasmine mentioned about the Black Fashion Week. Yeah, I remember that one stuck out to me, because I was just like, wow, like, this is one of the perks of being in radio. Like, I get to experience this. I've never experienced a fashion show of such high level quality.
Yeah.
Otherwise, and that was one of the things also that the creator of the show was trying to do for us in the Black community as well, was to put on a production that was of the highest level quality. She was from France, if I'm not mistaken, and she put on this phenomenal fashion show, and it was just a very rewarding experience.
Yeah.
Other than that, I remember, I'm not going to mention his name, because he's become a good friend too, but I remember having a guest on the show.
Okay.
And his energy was just so intense. And when he was on the show, we were just like, how do we deal with his energy is different. Like, how do we deal with this energy? Like it was really, 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 really intense. But yeah, man. So yeah.
We've had some really, really good guests that just kind of fell into the vibe. And we've had some really, really awkward guests. I remember one time we had a guest, and I think Sweet LaRock, you brought her in because she was a singer. Or maybe that was before your time. I don't recall. Actually, it may have been before your time. But we would ask her a question, and she would just answer the question. And, you know, normally with guests, they would answer and they would elaborate and they would continue. But she just answered the question. And like, because, no, actually, I think this was before Sirius and Sweet LaRock, because I remember the pictures, and it was just you and me, Jasmine, and then the two guests of that night. And it was just like, she would answer the question, and you would be on social media, and I would be behind the boards, or vice versa. And we'd kind of just be like, what is she doing? Why isn't she talking?
But, you know, on that note, though, I feel like Soul P so much taught me how to talk to people.
Yeah.
Because there are so many, because what we're forgetting to say, too, is that there are some people who are so nervous about being in front of a microphone.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is community radio. So for us, we're like, we're having fun and we care about this. But the point of it is so that it's for the community,
yep.
You know? But that doesn't matter if people get nervous about any kinds of things. And so our job as host is to help people feel at ease
and
so they can feel like we're not coming at them, but that we genuinely are just like putting them on the platform and they can just feel freely to talk.
Yeah.
And so I really appreciate how much Soul P was a training ground for me so that I can just be a better communicator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, for me, one of my things was just us as like all four of us as like I always come back to family. And, like, we were just synergistic. We just worked synergistically together. We rotated on the boards. Sweet LaRock and Sirius rotated on the music. And then, you know, we'd have the tradition of, like, if we had a certain amount of guests that stayed back. Because oftentimes our guests would be there and then they'd have to just, you know, once they did their little promo, they'd have to leave. And on the occasions that we had the guests stay for the full show or stay till the end of the show, we'd go outside and we'd be like, okay, let's take a picture, and we'd do the selfies and all of that. And then, you know, we kind of had a thing where we'd sit down afterwards, go to one of the restaurants in the surrounding neighborhood, usually a Mexican restaurant, which was a couple of doors down from Community. And we'd sit down and we'd talk about life. We talk about the show. We talk maybe about some guests that we want to bring in later on, or ideas that we have for the show. And then we'd go and party together, and it felt like we were workmates, but we were also, you know, a deeper friendship was being formed there that I really appreciated from the show in general. That was like, we had so many guests over the years, there's no one person that really stands out to me. One of the guests that I appreciated a lot that you brought in, Pascal, was the guest that spoke to us about the sickle cell organization.
Yes.
Because my uncle had actually passed away because of sickle cell. That I was really appreciative of that particular guest. But yeah, just in general, it was all about us.